The Council of Medical Colleges in New Zealand, along with the Māori Medical Practitioners Association, Te Ora, have just released a report on the experience of Māori doctors training in New Zealand. The report has found that Māori trainee doctors are entering a world which has limited understanding of te ao Māori, and a large burden is put on them to be the go-to people for advice on all things Māori. Dr. Rochelle Love is a Māori ear, nose and throat trained doctor who now works as a sleep surgeon in Ototahi, Christchurch. She joins me now. Hello there.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me along.
Yeah, really neat to have you on the show. What was your experience?
I'm not sure if we're segueing from rugby into this topic.
But, hey, that's what the 1pm hour is like, Rochelle. We very happily jump from one thing to the next, and we've been looking forward to getting your views on this. What was your experience or your relevant experience of training as a doctor in New Zealand as a Māori person? I think you whakapapata Ngāpuhi in Te Arawa.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think the main problem with progressing the conversation about Māori health is that we don't feel comfortable talking about racism. We don't like to feel that we are racist or that our behaviour could be interpreted as racist. I think back to Taika Waititi making a comment about New Zealand being a racist place 3 or 4 years ago, and we were shocked by that. Same thing with the Christchurch mosque shootings. The fact that this could actually be a white supremacist act was shocking to us. We just didn't connect with that. And I would say that most racist experiences I now encounter aren't actually someone saying something unpleasant to my face. It's more likely to be an unconscious behaviour or perhaps an act of omission or an unintended gesture. There's actually a teaching tool called the Harvard Implicit Bias Test. And in this test, there's a series of questions about your attitudes towards others. And I think most people are shocked to realise that we all have biases, prejudice and preconceptions about others. So when I think about the conversation we need to have about Māori health, we actually need to start with us recognising and accepting that racism has been and still is the norm. And we need to be comfortable with using the term racist. We need to recognise when it's happening and call it out. And here's the thing, we need to have strategies to move on from it. I think it's still a thing in this country where it's actually worse to be called out for being racist than it is to actually be racist.
Yeah. How does that manifest at medical colleges?
So the medical colleges, the combined medical colleges, are a group of colleges. So in my example, I'm trained through the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons. So there's a number of other colleges. And the key themes that came across in all the different specialties is this concept that we're constantly having to shoulder the burden of a racist system. And so again, it's not conscious. People aren't deliberately out to make Māori feel uncomfortable or to marginalise Māori. It's so many of the little things that happen, the microaggressions through the day-to-day things. And that's particularly so when we think about it at a governance level. So a lot of the decisions that are made for Māori in Māori healthcare are not actually by Māori.
Yeah, and have you been encouraged by progress in that respect with the recent announcements on a specialised Māori system alongside what we used to think of as the DHBs? I guess you're looking specifically now at the training of doctors, but can you see progress there?
Yeah, we're really excited about this. But as Dr. Curtis Walker, the chair of the Medical Council, has said, the devil is in the detail. Mm-hmm. So yes, we're excited about this opportunity. It is long due, but we have still lots of things to work out for that to actually make a difference to Māori healthcare and healthcare outcomes.
What was your personal experience?
With racism during training, it's pretty rife. And it is, I think about times when I was at the operating table. And so you have to understand that there is a hierarchy still existent in surgery. And the College of Surgeons has worked very, very hard to flatten out that hierarchy and to address some of those unacceptable, intolerable behaviours like bullying. But there is still a hierarchy. And as a junior doctor, you perceive that the surgeon is actually the gatekeeper to your future career progress. I think about the number of conversations I was witness to where people were talking about how irrelevant the Treaty of Waitangi was. What did I think about this land settlement that had gone on? And I feel a deep shame thinking about how in that moment I was almost frozen, unable to respond in the way that I felt was appropriate for fear that actually it would impact on my career. I've carried through this my entire career, actually, those feelings of being on the periphery, of not being welcome in this space.
You've talked, and I'm sorry to hear that, you've talked about recognition, how important recognition of racism is in order to move on. Is there anything else that can be changed in the immediate future to make things better for Māori training to be doctors?
No, there is. It's actually the concept of cultural safety, and this is where we actually are asking clinicians who are interacting with Māori to acknowledge how their own biases and prejudices can influence the interaction with the patient. So it's not saying those biases aren't there. It's saying, how do we mitigate those so that this patient can get the best care? That's what the evidence is saying to us, that it's actually partly clinicians' own biases that are contributing to poor healthcare for Māori. So there's a major responsibility for health equity and cultural safety that sit with the individual clinicians, but ultimately also with the training institutions, such as in my case, the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons.
Really appreciate your time today, Dr. Rochelle Love, a Māori ear, nose and throat trained doctor who works as a sleep surgeon in Ōtautahi, Christchurch. Thanks, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Well, for more on this, I'm joined by the heads of Te Ora, Te Ohurata o Aotearoa, the Māori Medical Practitioners Association. David Tipini Leach is here now. Hello there, David.
Tēnā koe, Jesse.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā tātou.
Tell me about this report. What's in it? What are the recommendations?
Well, this report springboarded, Jesse, off the work that the Medical Council has been doing with Te Ora and following up a project since probably 2015, last 6 years, around cultural competence, participation and health equity is what it started off as. And very recently, and this came out 18 months to 2 years ago, the Medical Council has recommended that what we should now be doing is moving from cultural competence into a thing called cultural safety. So cultural competence is kind of about learning about other people and how they think and how they behave and what they believe so that you can get a better understanding and supposedly so that you can serve them better as a practitioner through to cultural safety. And cultural safety is saying, well, okay, there's a limit to thinking about other people. What about thinking about yourself? And what about trying to ponder the question, how does my culture and how do my biases and the way I feel about things affect my interacting with patients? And what are my outcomes like? Are my clinical outcomes as good for Māori as they are for non-Māori? As good for women as they are for men? As good for disabled people as they are for non-disabled? So there's those sorts. That's where it started from. And so this particular piece of research, because the council and we were saying it's appropriate to move to cultural safety, we went out there to work with our colleges and to ask the question, and they asked it, and nobody's forcing this upon anybody. The Council of Medical Colleges asked Te Ora to come in with them and explore where they're up to with cultural safety, how they're going and how they're doing. You know, in short, and not surprisingly, we found that medical colleges were at a number of different points. So, you know, ones like, and this is talking about the colleges themselves, mm-hmm. ones like RACS, which is what Rochelle was just talking about, were reasonably well advanced. Ones like the ASIM are reasonably well advanced, and some of them, general practitioners, are pretty well advanced, and some of them are not so well advanced. They've got much smaller workforces and much smaller resources. So there they are, they're on these different points towards the cultural safety journey, and the cultural safety journey includes things like, well, who's on your governance structures to help you form the right policy so that the work that you do can be as good as it can for Māori patients. It's about who's on your workforce. Do you have any Māori people working for you inside your system? Do you have the right policies? Do you actually have a policy about recruiting Māori? And once you've got them, do you make sure that they get through and that they become specialists at the other end? So there are those sorts of things.
Yeah, you've talked about the importance of holding responsibility of cultural safety at the highest levels of college leadership, looking at college governance structures. There's something else I wanted to mention as well, which is the recommendation for formal structures within colleges that bring Māori trainees together and support Māori trainees. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. So one of the things that the trainees themselves told us was that there was, for the most part, there was very little of that, that they were left to themselves, that they didn't have specialists who were Māori teaching them, that they were often put into culturally unsafe positions by physicians who had no idea about their situation, had no idea about how to serve Māori patients, and sometimes who weren't even onto it for equity. They didn't even understand equity. So the idea that we should be, in our colleges, creating support structures has been really important. The idea that these Māori trainees, and indeed their senior fellows who have already gotten through, they have begun to pull together as groups of people in order to support themselves. And there is some move there inside the colleges to make sure that that happens proactively and that it's not just something that's left to the trainees themselves to do.
Good stuff. Thank you for sharing the report and your thoughts on it with us today. Professor David Tepene Leach, Te Ohu Rata o Aotearoa. Cheers.